Blog Talk Radio.
I am Mother Nature, I am the universe. I can make a miracle. Curse. But my soul is getting weaker as the earth heart fades. People terrorize and spread their hate. Will humanity awaken before it's too late? I am Mother Nature. Money talks, but let the truth be told. I can't be refunded, exchanged, or sold. Take a walk with me by my rivers, through my trees. Hear the birds singing, feel the sweet summer breeze. I'll show you something magic, bring you to your knees.
Trying to cut that off. Hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Face Us, Blog Talk Radio Show on Hidden Truth Revealed channel, The Inside Scoop, with Luann Fleming, Robin Austin, and Marcy Friedman is joining us tonight. Today is May 1st, 2019. Tonight, our discussion, we're going to be doing a roundtable discussion, actually, talking about recognizing red flags of corruption for profit. Guardianships, medical kidnapping, and unnecessary psychotropic drugs. The wishes of the elderly can be completely ignored and forced into court-ordered guardianship. Who is a complete stranger? Now, we all know that once you get into guardianship, there you can sometimes have a total control freak. This is what I'm going to say. You know, and we do have some really nice guardians out there, but a lot of the times we get so many complaints on some of these guardians that do not have the best interest of the ward. Okay, so this is going to be our topic tonight, and it's time for us to get our heads out of the sand and listen to the hidden truths of the probate court failure. We have so many instances going on where the court-appointed guardians get in there, and they're not the best interest. So we're going to try to educate others. We also tried legislating, and that's not going very well. So we can educate and see if we can get other people to understand. Whatever you do, don't try to go to a probate court for any circumstances whatsoever, because your outcome is not going to be what you thought is going to happen. So anyway, what are hospitalists, and is hospice turning into the Grim Reaper? We'll be addressing various aspects of human rights. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Marcy on with us. I think Marcy is with us. Marcy, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How's everybody?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Yeah. Thank you. I'm getting more empowered every day, learning more of what our rights are so we don't get cornered. What the due process is, and how we are all, every citizen of the United States, it's entitled due process, no matter what. There is a case that I've been helping on as an advocate where she has been so cornered. And it's interesting to not be in your own case, but watch what is being done to someone else, and then you can really relate to your own case. It seems where I feel now that I have been more empowered, even though it's been a very painful ongoing
right.
situation for everyone involved.
Right.
Now I'm stronger because I know more of what we are entitled to as a citizen.
Right.
This person went to court and she had advocates that were going and they were actually not allowed into the courtroom. And I learned that that's very illegal, that a courtroom belongs to the citizens of the United States and anyone can actually go into the courtroom. But it's not being allowed in some of our courtrooms in the United States and in Florida. And we're also entitled to the due process, and anyone can file anything into the courts. So this other person is being oppressed and being they failed that she cannot file. And that is a true violation of the amendment of the United States, because it is a freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and freedom of press. And so why they're doing these things? Because what are they afraid of and what are they hiding? And that is a true red flag. And I just felt so bad for her because she's being denied she's being denied her constitutional rights.
And this is a person
that is highly educated and super smart, not only book smart, but she's intelligent. She has common sense. She's strong. She's a woman of God. And all she wants to do, like all of us, is protect our loved ones. And it's been punished for that. And that's really cruel and that's criminal. And it's not godly. So, And Lulu, you saw me floored when you and I met a year ago, but you've seen me getting stronger because.
Why we're here, Marcy. That's why we're here, Marcy, is try to give people the power and the want to speak out on what is rightfully theirs in the first place. I mean, the worst thing we could all do is be silent, even though that some of these court, guardians, they will intimidate you. I've seen it happen. I've seen it myself when my mother was under guardianship. I was really scared to even speak about anything for a long time, but that didn't stop me from speaking out. So, and I understand, how important it is, to really be careful on what you're doing, but also speak out. And I've seen you become a lot stronger, and I've seen a lot of advocates become a lot stronger because, it's wrong, Marcy, for us not to be kept away from our loved ones. We have children out there we
criminal.
Love, and there's so many complaints of where these mothers are being ripped apart from their children. There's mothers that are being ripped apart from their kids, their elder kids, their middle-aged kids, they're younger kids, and it's just wrong. And this is the same as the fathers too, And it's absolutely criminal.
It's criminal, especially to someone, a child that's vulnerable, an elder that's vulnerable, an elder that is suffering from diseases of the mind and cognitive impairment, dementia, Alzheimer's. That is a criminal act.
Right. Today I was really, really sitting there. Today we went to my sister's birthday is today. One of my sisters, I think she's my
happy birthday.
Margaret, it's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Margaret.
Happy birthday, Margaret.
Yeah. Yeah, and we were.
Is she the one that's coming? Is she the one that's coming to visit?
Ruth is coming, but we're sitting there today at the nursing home with my mom, and oh my God, and my mom has really bad dementia, but she's a love of our life, and I could not imagine for one minute of how their brains are and how they're to be kept away from their children, and that's the most important thing when a person has dementia. They need their family members. They are already lost, but they're even more lost when the family members don't come there and they can't figure out, why isn't my daughter seeing me? My child seeing me? What's going on with this? And today we're sitting there, and my mom looked over at my sister today, and she goes, happy birthday. But you couldn't hear her, but you could see her voice saying that right to my sister. And it literally put tears in our eyes because we already know what mom is thinking. She loves each and every one of us. But I can't imagine what you're going through, Marcy, and all these parents. You know, I was out without my mom for 3.5 years. You know, I did all that. And I know how painful it is. I know how desperate people get. And for any court to sit there and say that you're not allowed to see your loved one, it's like Mary Bush. I mean, there's so many people that I know now that are restrained from seeing their own mother and their dad.
Yeah. And in the United States, it's no longer the land of the free. What the heck is going on? What is going on behind the scenes? And why? What do they want? I see my mother's bank accounts being depleted. I see her money that was in my name or her name with rights of survivorship with me, being depleted, and the predator's name when they're supposed to protect it. I mean, it's legal theft. Legal theft. Well, this is what they're doing to, they were doing it to your mom, they're doing it to me, and they're doing it to 65,000 Floridians probably, because those are the ones that are gardenized. Okay.
Right, and you know, Marcy, the thing that gets me the most of all is that our parents work hard to give us a legacy. They want their legacy to go on. They want to be able to give it to their children. What is so wrong with inheriting your parents' property? What is so wrong with that? Now,
because they want it. They want what wasn't coming to them. That's what they want. It's all about depleting the state because they want to get their hands in the cookie jar. So they do whatever to talk and defend the character and everything else in order to justify their stealing, because that's what they're doing. They couldn't do it when she was in the right mind, but they certainly could when she wasn't in the right mind. And you know what? I'm just only talking about my mom. I'm talking about the girl that I went, the professional that I went to help, and everybody else that is going through this. It is all about the money. They don't care about the individual. They could give a who about them, whether they're being medically neglected, overdosed. You know, like one of the ladies, Ellen, that I went and you know, from Texas, her mother, she was not allowed to be with her mother for only 2 hours. She flew all the way from Texas to Florida to see her mom. And that professional guardian only allowed her to be with her mother 2 hours. She was not allowed to be with her mother in her deathbed, but a professional guardian is being protected for isolating. That is what is so twisted. It's twisted.
The whole system. That's why we're going to talk about tonight, you know, about the red flags of probate court, basically, because I was blindsided going into this. And I know, Marcy, you were definitely blindsided thinking that if you...
Oh, my God, I went to protect her, not to see her being destroyed.
Right.
I mean, and let me tell you something. And this is what they're doing to every case that suffers from dementia, in every case that suffers from Alzheimer's. When a person has Alzheimer's or dementia, there is an illness of the mind. They don't say things that are right. They lose their filters. They think everybody's stealing from them. They are blamers because that is the illness. And if they would have been in the right mind, they wouldn't be doing that. And they take that and they twist it against the person that wants to protect them and wants the best for them. And then that person, that son or that daughter, gets to be punished and gets put through agony while the parent, the vulnerable parent, gets isolated, alienated, brainwashed, because we know that that's what they do, okay? And all of the above, and use the mental incapacity to their benefit. The problem is that how can officers of the courts not do something about it? And that's where it's twisted.
You want to get, you know what gets me, Marcy, is that I was talking to this attorney one day, and I'm not going to say who he is because I don't know if he wanted to talk about what he said, but he said that there are a lot of attorneys, you know, and court-appointed guardians, not all of them, he said there's some really good ones out there, but some of them that are unethical, he said that they do go up to the elderly person and say, you really don't want to see your son. You know, they did this court to get you in trouble. You know that they're trying to get you into guardianship. You know that they don't want to see you.
Yeah, that's what they did to my mom, too. They did to my. They told my mother kept saying, "But the court did it. I'm afraid of the court. Oh no!" But because they brainwash her, you know, that's what they do, and that's what they do. And so the thing of it is what are we going to do to continue to advocate and legislate in order to create a change? You know, we all know that this is going on, but what are the answers? What are we going to do? I mean, I tell, my thing is, if whoever I talk to during the day, whoever I meet, I bring up my mother and I tell them, protect yourself. Go ahead and do a power of attorney. Go ahead and put in there, no lawyer or no judge is allowed to alter this. And put that in there because I protected myself. I mean, and I put like 7 people. So, you know, because they try to find something, they're going to have to go to another one and 2 other ones. 7 people, like Sam Sugar said, I did it exactly like Sam Sugar said.
Right.
That's it.
Well, you know what?
That's what you got. That's what they all have to do, because once everybody starts to do that, you know, there's not going to be that much guardianship. So it doesn't get twisted. I call it a merry-go-round game, because they go on a merry-go-round and you get into the little horse, and then the horse goes up and down in a merry-go-round. And this is what they do. And you know, I was married to an attorney, and he used to tell me, attorneys they all get together, they go for lunch. Okay, 100, if there's 20,000, everybody charges 5. And they pick a topic and go around in circle, emailing back and forth, talking back and forth till they plead it. And that's what they do. The other thing that's happening is when they have the, when all the attorneys get together, a litigation, whenever they do the litigation, and then they have the court reporter and all that, they go ahead and do that. They each charge about $1,000 a day, and whoever the court reporter is, that the side of the attorney that hires the court reporter, she becomes biased, and she twists things and changes things in the transcript. That way, it goes, so the one that's defending herself, like trying to protect their mother or father, She says the right thing. That court reporter will twist it around to benefit the other party. And so when is the person that goes and says, I'm entitled to see that transcript, and I want to see that transcript, and I want to read it to make sure that it is, this one particular case found all kinds of errors. And guess what? Her lawyer that's supposed to be representing her didn't even do anything about it.
Yeah.
But yet she got paid for that day, and so did the others. So it is another red flag. That's supposed to be another red flag. As a matter of fact, I have an article on that that I'm going to send to you.
Right, and there's a lot of different kinds of articles, and that's, you know, and I always think about, you know, my family had all of our trusts and wills in order. We had power of attorneys. We had all that. It didn't seem to do a bit of good of what we did. It didn't.
Well, you have to put those clauses in there. You have to put the clauses in there. Read Dr.
Sam Sugar.
You know what?
I don't think it would have mattered not one bit what we did if we stood on our heads in the courtroom. It wouldn't have mattered because they had their minds made up. They were taking our property. They were taking it all. They didn't read the trust. They didn't. No one cared about nothing with our trust. They could have cared less. Okay. And I'm just saying that you can get all your powers of attorney in there. You can have trust. You could will. And I do say that some of them will go good if you don't have any arguing family members, or if you don't end up in a hospital or whatever it is. Some, you know, some trusts and wills are honored, but I haven't seen too many of them lately. I mean, I hate to say that, but it's true, you know. But what I'm trying to say is, and if anybody's listening here, and if your trust and wills have been honored in court, call us up. Talk to us. Let us know. The number you can call into is 845-241-9962, and you press a 1. Robin, are you with us?
Yes,
Robin?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
How you doing?
I am great. I'm great.
Hi, Robin.
Hi, Marcy. Boy, you are on fire tonight. You have been just telling
me.
I'm getting
all kinds of education here, let me tell you. I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying all this research that I'm doing, I can tell you.
Yeah. Well, you're bringing some real good stuff. I mean, you know, the fact is that these people are criminals, and they are. And, you know, I have to disagree with one thing that you said, which was what these courts have done is make stealing legal. And I think the truth is, the honest truth, I think, Marcy, my opinion, I think that they really have not made stealing legal. I think they are breaking the law. I think stealing is not legal, and I think they're breaking the law. It's just that they're getting away with it because they're so well, it's such a well-protected criminal organization that's running the court, that because the criminals have taken over the court. So they're protecting the criminals, just like the mafia would if you went to the capo of the family and said, hey, your other capos are stealing from me, and he'd laugh at you and say, no, that's not the way we see it, you know. And that, I mean, only to tell you the truth, the times that I have met people that I happen to know were in the mafia, they had a little bit more morals than some of these courts.
Well, I can tell you that. I can tell you from what I know of the mafia is that they protect women, they protect children, and they protect the elder. Let's say there's a family. This is one story that I heard. There was a family where he was supposed to be doing something many, many years ago from the mafia. And this story I heard many years ago, I would say 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But the little boy, the son of the guy who the mafia killed, okay, came to his mother, and there were two sons. He was a little boy at the time, and said, mm-hmm. Your husband did wrong, and we took care of him, but we are going to pay for your boy's college education, and we're going to make sure that you do not lack anything. When your boy, the smartest one, the deal is that he doesn't need to know this, you know, he doesn't need to know the truth. When he graduates from college, he will be working for us. And the woman, a widow with no money, what is she going to say? Okay, well, that son, that's who's, he's dead now, that's who I heard the story from,
mm-hmm.
went to college, graduated, and started working for this mafia group, and ended up making millions of dollars. He's dead now. But the mafia did take care of the mother, the two boys, and they take care of the elder too. So I don't know in what category this group of people that are doing this to our parents belong from. Satanic, maybe?
No.
I don't know.
No,
but
no,
I think the mafia would be too good of a name for them.
Well, it is organized crime, and that's a fact. And of course, the mafia is known as an organized crime organization, and that's why I think that the organized crime organization, when you talk about that, one of the ways that people can understand is if you use mafia, because they go, oh yeah, organized crime, got it. But when I say, you know, I mean, I have had some interactions with people that I know as mafiosi, people that were in the mafia. And I've actually befriended some at times and known them because they didn't live far, because, you know, they were in places where I would go. And I kind of got to know them. So I have had a little window to see a little bit more about that group of people than the average person that's never had any interaction. And so when I say that the people in the mafia that I have known have more morals than these courts, that's absolutely true. I mean, they're willing to take extraordinary measures and do some things that other people wouldn't do. Mm-hmm. And they'll hurt people that are, that they intend to hurt. And, I'm not endorsing any of those things. I'm not saying that there's any good in any of that. But what I am saying is that I don't see any morals at all in some of these courts. I see people that are exploiting the weak and taking advantage of those who are the weakest and the easiest targets.
These people
are despicable. They are absolutely despicable. They are horrific.
But, no, but
are
what are we
going to
do about
than the organized criminals I've seen before?
Yeah.
What are we going to do about it?
Well, I think that you're on the right track by doing research. I think that one of the things that we can do is read the Constitution, get familiar with your rights, understand that we do have a Bill of Rights, and these people are violating it. And we need to learn that Bill of Rights and learn that Constitution so that when we go to court, we can say, excuse me, Your Honor, I have the right to speak.
Okay.
Your Honor, I object.
Yeah.
Your Honor.
If they let you, but the problem
I was
an advocate for a couple of weeks ago, and when she raised her hand to defend herself, the judge reprimanded her and said, I don't want to hear from you. And he was very disrespectful to her. I'm not saying that all judges are bad. I have three girlfriends that are judges, and they would never do something like that. And they're very ethical people. But I'm telling you that some of them feel like they are above the law. And when she found the gag orders are dismissible. You know why? Because a gag order is used to keep you from exercising the First Amendment of the United States, which we have
right.
Freedom of press, freedom of free speech, freedom of expression. And, you know, I just saw that on NBC News, as a matter of fact. I was listening to the news, and they were talking about a gag order, and I forget what the story was, but that's what they said. It is a violation of the First Amendment. It is used to keep people quiet because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble. So why are they trying to hide? And you are a citizen. We are all citizens of the United States. We are entitled due process in those courtrooms. And the other thing that I learned is that that you can file something in the courts if you're going pro se. And even if you have an attorney, you can file something in the courts. They're not allowed to keep you from filing. But yet this one judge was keeping her from doing that, and they wanted to strike it. Now, what in there that they wanted to strike so bad is the answer to why they put a gag order on her. So I think what it is this person is so smart, okay, that she's so highly educated and she's so smart that they're just afraid, because there are people like you and me trying to find, trying to use the power of the law in order to be okay with isolation, over-medication, exploitation, and abuse, which, by the way, the other red flag is that I found out is that every court professional, they're officers of the courts, and they are mandated by law. There's a law on that, in Florida law, that they have to report abuse. It's mandated. And any health professional or any judge or any attorney that they see abuse, they are mandated to report it. So that's the other thing, that this being at doing that advocacy work on that one hearing, I found out, I said, this doesn't seem right. How could this person trying to protect a vulnerable elder suffering from dementia, isolated, badly treated, and they are telling her she can't report this? And the judge that was her judge wasn't even aware. And I go, oh, yeah, he was definitely aware. How can a criminal judge not be aware that you're not supposed to, that you're mandated to report abuse? I mean,
right. What these people are doing,
I think the fact that she caught on to that, he got out of that courtroom, I bet you he will recuse himself.
Yeah.
Probably. That's what, you know, as you have seen, as some others have seen, when you do start to bring the law into the courtroom and hold these people accountable for the crimes that they are committing in the courtroom and outside of the courtroom that are being authorized by a judge, and you bring those crimes to the court, and you hold the judge accountable to the law, what happens is that judge will disappear. They'll recuse themselves.
Yes.
And then you wind up in front of another judge.
Yeah, because they're going to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because, see, but that's why I'm saying this really is, I really do think that the way that we're working at this, the way that you're, the things that you're doing, the things that we're doing, every person out there who's educating themselves and going to court as prepared as possible, because they know their rights and they know the Constitution and they know the law. But if we don't start learning the law so that we walk into a court and we know what that judge, when that judge is breaking the law, we need to be aware of it and we need to know it and we need to raise those issues. And if that judge just, you know, breaks the law, says, no, no, you're not allowed to speak. No, no, you're not allowed to put in paperwork. No, no, you're not allowed to raise your hand.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear anything from you. Then at that point, then we know this is criminal activity. This is a criminal action by the court, and whether or not we're able to hold that judge responsible in that court at that moment, to know that this is criminal, and then to bring it out to the public, bring it out to the to a higher court, bring it out to your legislators, bring it out to everyone you can find, and say, are we going to allow criminals to operate with impunity from the bench in our courtrooms? Criminals to operate with impunity. We're going to let these people, just because they have a nice black robe over their clothes, does that mean that now this person who is a criminal, because they're doing criminal activity, because they're denying your civil rights, they're working against your constitutionally guaranteed, God-given rights, are we going to allow this person, just because they have a black robe, just because somebody appointed them, or just because they got a certain number of votes, are we going to allow this person then to engage in criminal activity and be a criminal running our courts as a people when the government does not conform to the laws of God, to the laws of righteousness, to the laws of truth? We the people have a right to overthrow that government. So are we the people going to allow these things to go on in our courtrooms? These are our courtrooms. They don't belong to these individuals that have usurped the power. They don't belong to these individuals that have put on a black robe and now say, oh, you can speak and you cannot. Oh, you can put in a paper and you cannot. Oh, I don't want to hear from you.
That's worse than being in Cuba, man.
Yes, I know. You're talking about communist China. You're talking about Soviet Russia. You're talking about Cuba. You know, you're talking about kangaroo courts, and there is no justice in these kangaroo courts. Are we the people going to allow it? We have to make up our minds that we will not, and we have to act as though we are the authority in our culture. And how do we do that? Well, one way is to put up our radio show and tell everybody, hey, wake up, get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. You know, we've got to stand up and do what's
the
right,
other,
and we've got to stand up for the right.
The other thing that is good, it's they have in Florida these organic nonprofits that you pay them $25, I think, something like that, and they send a court watcher. And that court watcher will go in there and sit and evaluate the judge and will report it.
Right.
Right.
So people no longer, and that sort of keeps the judge a little bit more straight, but then I didn't really see it in the one case that I went to, even though there was a court watcher there and I was there and several other advocates were there. He still said, this is my court and I'm in control of my court and I can do whatever I want in my court. So this judge, I think he forgot that he took an oath because he is hired by the citizens. We pay his salary. And this is why I think the ego, they get so, like you said, they get so empowered with their black coat that they can just think that they can go above the law. And this is the problem that's happening. And it's happening to for a woman alone like me or this other person, you know, that we're weak people, you know. They think we're weak, but, you know, we're not weak because we're standing up. And I believe that I, even whether I get my mother or not, that's not really up to the judge. It's really up to God because I'm very faithful. But I can tell you that he has put us all together to try to make a change because the criminal acts that are being done is not from the forces of God. It's from the forces of evil.
Right.
That's evil. That is,
and that what they have to do to lie and cheat, to steal from an elderly person, that is like the lowest, that those people are not worth more than a wooden penny. for doing that to an elderly person, because no one deserves that.
No.
I can tell my mother did a really good job raising me, because she used to tell me, if somebody throws you a rose, you throw it. But if they slam the door, you slam it harder. Boy, you know what? She would be like, she would be so feisty and get. And you know what? She raised me strong, I can tell you. Because
she would never, if somebody
was doing that to me, oh my God. I at least I keep my mouth shut and I bite my tongue. I'm sure I say it with my eyes, because I do stare at them in the eyes and look at them like, right. But my mother would have said different, you know. But poor thing, you know, she's, when they isolate them and they brainwash them and they tell them lies, you know, that's really plain. That's mental abuse.
It is. It's terrible. It absolutely is. And these people are abused mentally, physically, in every way.
Yeah.
I mean, the drug abuse. You know, you said that they go after the incapacitated. But the other thing, Marcy, is a person doesn't have to be incapacitated for them to go after them, because what they'll do is they'll take custody of a person with police, come to their house with armed men, armed gangsters in police uniforms, and that's what they become when they are acting on behalf of criminals who are doing criminal activity, which is what this is. When you have armed men who come to your house, your property, and take you out of that property because some other person has
gone
to a black robe who said, yes, it's okay with me,
because
that is still criminal.
That's why
armed men come in, kidnap you from your home, kidnap you from your home, take you out, lock you up, and then they drug you where you cannot defend yourself. So you don't have to be incapacitated. They will be very happy to incapacitate you in order to take your stuff.
Well,
this is the degree of criminality.
Medical reports. I protected myself. They're not going to do that to me, let me tell you. I'm totally prepared. Oh, no.
Right. Yeah,
I
no,
prepare
I mean,
myself. What they got to do you got to say, I am in my right mind, and this is what I want. And you got to go and get assessed, which I already did. There's nothing wrong with me. I have a neurological evaluation. You know what? I wanted to get it done. And I have that. And I have a medical report saying that I am healthy, and that is in all my papers. So, therefore, they're going to have a really hard time.
Right. And the other thing, of course, is a multitude of witnesses. The more you have witnesses, if you've got two or more witnesses to whatever you're telling the court, they have to admit that as evidence.
No, you got to go to a lawyer, and then you have to have, the Florida law says you need to have two witnesses. So I had a lawyer, and I had two witnesses, and I got it all done and sealed. I know who's going to take care of me, and that's it. Oh, no, it's all protected. Nope.
Yeah.
I learned about what happened to my mom, and that's just not going to happen to me.
Uh-huh.
Nope. And that's what you got
to
do. Sam Sugar's book, he has part of his chapter tells you how to do it. Yeah, but I have no money anyway, so what are they going to take? They don't want me. I'm just a poor person.
Oh, my.
So, but
yeah,
you know what? The long
countries
to live. Like
steal.
In Santo Domingo, or, you know, some of the Latin countries are really better to live than the United States, because what's going on in our system and what's been done to me and my mom and you guys and this and Hillary Hoag's dad and I don't want to mention the other one because I don't want to get her in trouble. But now that
right.
she told me, because I went and witnessed this, she told me nothing. But what has been done to these people, it's so sad. And no one deserves to go through this in the United States of America. And I was proud to be an American. But now, let me tell you something. I'm fighting really hard so I can be proud to be an American and try to be part of changing a system that's so corrupted and so broken and to take advantage of the elderly. I think that's just one of the lowest things that I've ever seen in my life. You know, it's like taking advantage of an animal. That's, you see the animal cruelty faces. Well, I see my mother when I've seen her in her lowest point over there. She looks like a sad little face, like, I don't understand why I'm here. Why can't I leave? I go, you can. You have the freedom to go. Give me my purse. I'm getting out of here. And then the caretaker says, no, no, you're not going. Of course, she doesn't want to lose her money, you know. And then she forgot that she told me that, you know. It's just so sad that this is going on.
It is.
Yeah.
It's tragic. It is truly tragic. And when I, you know, when you hear me and my voice gets loud and strident and I'm speaking with a lot of passion, the reason for that passion, it almost sounds like anger. And the reason for that is compassion, is that I care for these people who are in this situation so much. I cannot stand the injustice and the hate, the viciousness that is directed against these individuals.
Because two is emotional abuse. It's emotional abuse and telling you things and making you feel things and accusing you of things that you've never done. And so, of course, it's going to make you mad. It's like somebody takes a stick and hits you enough. That's from the outside. But emotional abuse is what is being done. It's abusive for somebody to go and protect their loved one and then turn it around and say that it's you. And that you're the abused one because you're bringing in medical reports, throwing the true and convincing facts. I mean, what is that? And of course you're going to get mad. It's like because they poke you in order to get upset. Who's not going to get mad? Somebody who's a rock, somebody who doesn't have feelings and emotions. But that's like beating you up. That's a beat up right there. And, you know, bullying. Yeah. When somebody bullies somebody, it's connected to fear. A person that bullies wants to put fear in you. That's why they do it. It's connected to fear.
Because they are fearful.
And so you get fear-based because you're afraid of what they're going to do to you. And what everybody needs to know is that you have the right to protect your loved one. And you have the right to have due process. And you have the right to speak. No one in the United States can take that away from you. That's it.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
These are, it's God-given and constitutionally guaranteed. God-given rights that our Constitution guarantees will not be taken away.
No.
And so guaranteed not
I
only
mean,
by...
I mean, one person that told you was going to go to jail, and then her own attorney is telling her, you're going to go to jail. And I go, how does she know what the judge is going to do? Who's she been talking to?
Exactly.
You can go to jail because you are protecting someone and you're mandated to report abuse. What are they hiding? What do they want? Why do they want to keep that person in that state? I can tell you what the answer is. $100,000 in legal fees. That's why.
Right. There you go. Bingo. Ding, 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 ding. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner. Yeah, that of course that's why. That's why. There you go. That's the answer.
Oh, yeah, we got your number. But, you know, though, I do recommend that it is getting out there more about, you know, like that Diane Diamond. She has written a lot of great articles about guardianship and the broken law and the abuses. And yeah, there, it's getting out there. It's getting attention. It really is. I heard that Tallahassee is talking about the guardianship issue and wanting to make changes. That's been brought up. So I think this governor, DeSantis in Florida, I'm very hopeful with him because he really supports democracy, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and he declared it in Florida that the guardianship oversight is a disaster. And I think, and that he's very caring with the elderly. And I think he's doing an amazing job as a leader with his leadership in Florida. I think he's really straight, you know. There's no shenanigans with him. And I think he doesn't like corruption, I can tell you that much. I got to meet him, and he was great. So, and he's helping the youth, too.
Supporting and
what's
putting into
office. Yeah, I highly admire him. He's very articulate, very well-spoken. He's got a strong hand, and you can see he's like a military kind of leader, that he doesn't like shenanigans. And he hates corruption. That I can tell you. I think he's a much better governor than the one we had.
I certainly hope that all of those things are true.
Yeah, and he supports family. I think that he's very ethical, honorable, and I think he's very honest from what I've seen so far. And the fact that he values, you know, our freedom of speech, freedom of press, a democracy, and he's big on human rights. And he
I want to talk to you guys about, you know, next week, I really like this guy. His name is Gordon L. Wigborg Jr. And he's going to be coming on next week to talk to everybody. He's a retired police chief, president of the National Strategy and Management Board of NFOJA. He's a president executive committee at the National Judicial Conduct and, let me get my phone, Disability Law Project. President at the National Strategy and Management Board, NSMB. And he's a retired military federal service, civil service, Department of Defense. Worked at the U.S. Army, former chief plans and operations at Yuma Proving Ground, former anti-terrorism force protection U.S. Army garrison in Hawaii, former deputy provost marshal, chief police directorate of emergency services, U.S. Army garrison. This list goes on and on and on.
This guy.
You can find him on Facebook. You can find him on Facebook. His name is Gordon L. Wigborg Jr., and he's also going to be having two other people coming on the radio show with him, and he said that they're whistleblowers, and I'm trying to find their names on here, that they're going to be joining him, and that's going to be next week. It'll be Mark Lipton and Maurice Morse will be coming on, and I want everybody to know
that's a great show. And you know what? I like the fact that he knows about the ADA DOS, American Disability Act law, because
right.
when somebody's being incapacitated medically, they're not supposed to put him through the court ringer.
Right,
you
and
know,
I really think we're going to learn a lot from him. He also works with Zena Crenshaw and Brian Kinter. You know, I'm sure they all, you know, he knows each other with them. But Zena Crenshaw was on our show last week with Brian Kinter, and that was an amazing show. There was so much information with Opt-in USA. And I tell you the truth that having him on is a huge plus as well. So that's going to be next week. We're going to start this show off. We're going to do it for 2 hours. But there's going to be so much information. I want absolutely everybody to listen to next week. And it's going to be really good. And I told him to leave the topic open because there's so much to talk about. Not only that, but I've invited him to come on to our shows a couple times because he has so much information.
That's going
to
be a great show.
I'm also trying to get on another doctor. She's coming on the end of this month. I have her name not with me, but in my emails here. But we have another doctor coming on who's going to be coming on the end of May. So we're going to keep that time open for her as well. And she was over at the Whistleblower Summit, not the Whistleblower Summit, but the Tampa Bay ones that Dr. Sugar had. And she was one of the speakers there. And one of the ladies came up to me and she goes, "You really need to have this doctor come on. She was amazing at the Whistleblower Summit, and we would really, you know, see if you can get her onto your radio show." So I talked to her. She said yes. She couldn't do it today, which I was hoping that we could have done it today. But she's going to be coming on the end of the month, which is really good. So we got a really good lineup coming on so far the rest of this month. And, of course,
that's
great. June, I'm planning on taking off probably the whole month of June because I have to take a break. So, anyway, that's our lineup coming. It's going to be really informational, and I hope everybody joins us. And if anybody wants to do a radio show or if anybody's involved just wanting to come on to a radio show and tell their story or anybody, if you can find somebody, just let me know. I'm Luanne Fleming, LuanneFleming. I'm on Facebook. You can also reach me at luanne@faceus.org, FaceUs.org. And you can reach us that way. And you can also reach Marcy Friedman. She's on Facebook, MIRCI Friedman. And then there's Robin Austin. He's also on Facebook. But I really think that these topics are so important that we keep the community apprised of what's going on because we were definitely blindsided going into court. I swear to God, we are going to get justice. I swear to God, if I told those court officials what really happened with my family, I swear to God they were going to do something about it. But you know what? They didn't care. And I was just kind of shocked that we live in this kind of world to where you could go up to a judge and you could present all kinds of information. They don't let you speak in court. The attorneys didn't care what you had to say. And to me, it was just flabbergasted me. I didn't even know what to think, you know. But and like you guys are saying, Robin, it is a criminal cabal out there. And it sort of like reminds me of going into court one time, about when 1985 when I went into court, and there was these attorneys that took me in for I didn't pay a trash bill. I think the check bounced for $9. Okay, this is 1985. Mm-hmm. Well, I went into court, and the check write company that had us, they went ahead and it was some checking company. I can't remember what it was, but they went and got treble damages on me, court fees. But anyway, that $9 trash bill turned out to be $300. Well, when I went into court back then, it was like a collection agency. I didn't even see a judge. In fact, they said, okay, you got a judgment here, and I didn't even get to see a judge, and they took away all my rights right then and there. And I'm like, wow. How could this be happening? But that, you guys, was 25 years ago. So guess what? We ended up going back into court. I ended up getting a legal aid attorney. And guess what the legal aid attorney did with us? We actually changed the laws down into the courtrooms up in Arapahoe County out here to where when you go in front of a court, you have the right to see a judge. And that was mandatory in every single courtroom from there on is what my family did. To get in and to see a judge. I mean, to me, this was huge back then. So we did that. Our family, so you're allowed to see a judge now when you're going to court. So that's the good thing that happened to that, and that would have never happened if we didn't speak out about what happened to us. Anyway, that $9 trash bill, I just ended up paying them the $9, and they wrote it off. But I'm just saying that everybody has the right to see a judge, and hope to God we start getting some fairer judges out there that are recognizing the abuse that's going on. What do you guys think about
right.
that?
Right, a judge is an office. A judge is an office that a person is supposed to be holding that has certain obligations and responsibilities that go with the office. You've been assigned responsibilities and obligations. That's why they call you Your Honor, because you're supposed to live by a code of honor that you pledge to uphold. You're supposed to pledge to uphold the United States Constitution. You're supposed to pledge to uphold the rights of the individuals. We need, all of us should, do a little research and figure out what it is that those judges are pledging, so that we know when they're breaking their pledges, because when they're breaking the pledge that they made to become a judge, they're a criminal. That's breaking the law. That is criminal activity on the part of that individual who's supposed to be upholding the law. And just as you were able to go back and get that law changed,
mm-hmm.
so the more educated we are, the more likely
right.
it is that we'll be able to go back at some future point and overturn some of these bad decisions, and these criminals, with any luck, will find themselves facing jail time for the thefts
uh-huh.
and the murders and the kidnappings that they're doing. And, you know, that's when you'll really see widespread change, is when a couple of judges wind up facing charges because they're not immune to the law. They're not above the law. They have to uphold the law in order. And when they are acting as a judge, they're supposed to live by a code that causes them to conduct themselves in a certain way. If they're outside of those, the strictures of that office, the things that they pledge to do, the things that they are obligated to do, then at that point, that's a criminal. If we can begin to hold those criminals responsible for their crimes, at that moment, then we start to see a justice system instead of a just us system where they're stealing from people. You know, that will end because the people will hold them accountable and they'll find themselves in prison for their thefts. And I really believe that that day is coming. I mean, we see April Parks in prison right now. We're seeing some movement in this area.
Right. And those advocates out there that helped get April Parks, God bless each and every one of them, because that was horrific what happened. I mean, you know, that's amazing that they proceeded and they got that done. But that just shows to you that we are making progress. You know, there is
right.
a lot of people that are more aware of this. There's more radio shows. There's Marty Oakley. She's actually been doing some radio shows on Monday night exposing the corruption in Australia. And actually, there's going to be a whistleblower summit, everybody. It's going to be, I think it's July 29th, 30th, and 31st in Washington, D.C. And there's going to be some people coming from, I heard, from Australia that are going to be there on some panels also. So that's exciting to know that. You know, Marty Oakley's come a large way, just like our radio shows. But if we have to keep exposing this situation. No matter what, we have to stand up and say, you know, this is wrong. You know, when you go into a nursing home and you see these people being abused, and there's this, it was Mimi. There was a video last week that Gretchen Rachel Hammond did on this one advocate where she was, I think she was in Michigan, and they had taken her mother. I don't know if you guys seen that on Facebook. And she was sitting there saying, Mama, Ma, I love you, Mommy. And her name was Mimi. And the mother was sitting there like, yes, I want to be with you. And then all of a sudden this court attorney comes in there, the guardian, and just yanks her out of there. I mean, turns the wheelchair. And, oh, my God, I was just so infuriated. I mean, I don't even know how people can keep their composure, knowing that this is going on with their loved ones. But sad to say that she passed away, and I'm hoping to find it up here on Facebook so I can get her correct name. But I tell you what, I look at that every single day, look at that picture, and it blows my mind, you know, of what really happened, you know. And it just is, it's mind-boggling, is it, you guys? I mean, to know that this is going on. It's quite heart-wrenching, you know.
It is.
Okay,
it's
so this
tragic.
Video below was shot by Gretchen Rachel Hammond in Oakland County Probate Court in Detroit. And it was filmed, Mimi and her mother have not seen each other for 2 years, you guys, 2 years. And the court refused to allow Gretchen access to the footage inside the courthouse. So they brought him outside, and you can see her with her mother. I posted it, you know, in Face Us. And even Marcia Southwick says, an absolute outrage that a stranger appointed by the court can destroy a family, you know, without any consequences. And I keep saying that over and over, that these mother and daughter love each other. There's absolutely no reason why this daughter cannot go in there and take care of her mother. Absolutely none. But sad to say, her mother just recently passed. She was 95 years old. Her name was Virginia Wahab. Passed away at age 95. So, and I think her daughter was Mimi, but you guys need to go in there and look at that, okay, Robin? So get off and go look at that whenever you can. But it's an outrage, and I think everybody needs to open their eyes to what is really going on in America. I'm serious about that.
I do want to address one more thing pertaining to that, Luann, because you said she passed away. And one of the things that I want people to really understand and hear is when you talk about someone who has been kidnapped and is locked up in one of these facilities by these unethical guardians, and then they feed them through this process of drugging them and slowly taking away all of their property, taking away all of their liberty, taking away all of their life force and their will to live, taking them away from their children, taking them away from their family, and then when the time comes, they call in hospice, and hospice will say, oh, the merciful thing is to put them out of their misery because
right.
They've reached that point where, oh, now their organs are shutting down. Well, all of that can be arranged. You can arrange for someone to lose the ability of their legs by putting them on certain kinds of drugs. Cipro, it does that to a lot of elderly people. Takes away their ability to walk. There's certain drugs that will cause these side effects or just call them effects. And these individuals know what they're doing. They give these people these drugs that harm them, that take away mental capacity, that take away physical capacity, and take away organ function, cause organ failure. They get to the point where their organs are no longer sustaining them because they've been poisoned by these poisons called drugs, pushed on them against their will by people who are not members of their family, who do not love them and have no interest in them other than as a commodity. And they're shoved into a system where they're slowly poisoned until they are brought to a state where they are near death. And then they bring in the killers that then say, oh, it's the merciful thing to kill them now, so we'll give them the death shot. And that's what they do. So when you say, oh, she passed away, I want people to understand this isn't some peaceful, her family gathered around, they all kissed her and said, oh, we love you, Mom, and we're sure going to miss you and so glad that you were able to come back for one last little, talk with us, which does happen. I was just watching last night on the internet, I was watching a video that was a person who had been in hospice, who had been at the bedside of many people who died, and found that oftentimes individuals who had brain trauma or the destruction of their brain with cancer or the destruction of their brain with Alzheimer's or the destruction of their brain to where they didn't talk for months, sometimes for years, to anyone because their brain was too messed up. And at the end, they came back and talked to their family and said goodbye and died. Now, if we were to allow people that privilege to die the way God intended, to die the way that it's natural for human beings, if we were to allow people to not be poisoned to death, not be poisoned with drugs that take away their capacity, not be poisoned with drugs that destroy their physical capabilities and their mental capabilities and their internal organs function, if we were to allow people to live with natural supports for their health up until the natural end of their life, well, for one thing, they might not look so bad when they die. They might not get so close to death so young. They might live a longer, happier, healthier life. And at that point, when they get ready to die, if it comes to the point where they've lost a lot of function, well, they might come back and talk to those family members that gather around to say, it's been great having you as part of our family. We love you, Mom. We love you, Dad. We love you, Uncle Joe, whoever it is. And die peacefully the way that we think of it in the movies, the way that we think of it because it's been drilled into us that this is the way that death ought to be. This is what we hope for our own death. This is what we hope for our loved ones. This is why we make advanced directives saying, I want to be sure that my family is around. I want to be sure that they have the chance. I want so-and-so to look after me at the end. I want such and such to take care of my things, which I know they care about as much as I do. You know, we do these things for very good reasons. And for these interlopers to come in and steal everything and kill them, I don't want people to have this romantic notion that this person is peacefully passing away when they've been robbed and killed. I want us to understand that this is criminal activity and we need to stand up against it. And we need to speak out against it loudly and clearly, just as I am now.
And you know what? There's also been another article that came out, and this says former court-appointed Philly guardian charged with stealing from three families. So they just went ahead and arrested her. Her name was Gloria Frances Breyers, 58, of Alden, Delaware County, was charged with multiple felony counts of theft, including for allegedly stealing from a Fox Chase couple, Edmund and Ed. Margareta Berg. So she is in jail facing these multiple counts, which is awesome because it shows to you how rampant this is going on. You know, that
I'm
they
so
went
glad
in and
to
they
hear that someone went to jail for that because so many just walked free, you know, for years and years and years. Oh.
Right. And so, I just got to reading this article on there. So this lady's facing multiple counts of that, but this is how rampant this is going on, and this is going on all over the nation. And the more people that speak up at this, the more arrests that are going to be happening. And I'm grateful for that. I really am grateful for that, that this is all being recognized finally. I mean, we've been doing this years and years and years. How many years have we been doing this? Like, we've been involved with this in 10 years, 9 years ourselves in the court system. 9 years going on. Gosh, almighty, know what I'm saying. But
have money that are your family's monies, which are mostly gone, but what's left is still in the hands of a court official. For no reason at all. There's no good reason for that. There's no good reason for that at all. The whole thing was a big, bogus theft that went on that they covered up with a lot of legal mumbo-jumbo and paperwork. It was just a theft. There was no good reason for it. They don't have the right to that money. There's no good reason for it. There's no just cause.
Right. You know, but you know what? We are raising a lot of awareness. I mean, there's lots of organizations out there now, and it's a lot more going on with it since we started like 10 years ago with all this going on. And I'm glad, you know, that they're going to be cracking down on some cases here in Colorado, too, as well, I guess. But I try to add the guardianships to this one bill that they should be checked out for elder abuse as well. So hopefully I can get some of these legislators on next year because I know it's wrapping up this year. I think May 3rd is their last day. But I'm glad this is going on. So next week, like I said, we're going to have Gordon coming on. And that's going to be a really good show. I mean, that's going to be really nice. He contacted me today, so he's going to be coming on.
Anything else you want to talk about tonight?
Is there? And you know what? I know that we talked about the, you know, the elders, but we also have to recognize that it's not just the elders getting going into abuse. There's all kinds of disabled children and special needs children that they are also taking into guardianship. And anytime someone gets a large settlement, they'll say, oh, that person can't take care of their funds. And then they'll put them into a guardianship, and they'll continue to take that money and pay themselves with that.
Oh, yeah.
Why these people don't know what they need. These are special needs people that need that money to take care of their needs. That is totally wrong,
right,
in my opinion. And we've had a lot of cases come to us asking us, you know, what can we do in that? And I'm lost for words. But we also have to recognize them and also the children that are being placed into all these different homes that are not good for the children. I've heard stories of that nonstop as well. So it's a long time advocacy. It's long advocacy groups that we need to, you know, if anybody has to say, open up your own radio shows. You can come on ours. You can talk about this as much as you want. You could come on and tell us your story. Whatever you want to talk about, we're good, okay? So that's what I wanted to talk about. You guys have anything else you want to talk about tonight?
I think we did a pretty good show. I think we've covered a lot. I think Marcy had a lot of excellent things to say, and I'm really glad that she spoke up and let some things be heard, because she really carried the first part of the show just beautifully with the things that she's doing, and I appreciate that.
I want to give a shout out to my sister Margaret. Happy birthday!
Margaret.
Happy birthday to you. Anyway,
happy birthday.
Margaret, are you with us?
Happy birthday.
Yes, I am.
Dear Margaret,
I'm here.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been such a great day. It's been wonderful. I have a little quote for you that I came across. It's isolate, medicate, separate, take the estate. They won't hesitate. Time to celebrate. A priceless Chinese proverb.
Right. Exactly. And we always say that. We always say that as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Robin, for all you've done with our family and helping us bring our mother back. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have got our mother back. So thank you, Robin. You're a great man. You're a great man with a big heart.
Thank you, Margaret.
I
attribute anything that you attribute to me as something good, it's just because God is helping.
I don't know. He's there. He's in our corner.
I'm grateful that I've been able to do some good, but I think it really has to do with the fact that I try to surrender everything to God and give glory to God, because that's where the good comes from, and that's where I'm able to do some good is because I surrender to God and I ask God to help, and God helps me to help others and helps others to help themselves, and I'm grateful to be a part of it. But thank you.
Oh, right. Wonderful. Thank you.
So I want to also talk about that tomorrow is the day that my other sister, her husband, committed suicide, and that was 34 years ago. And then also I want to also mention that on Friday was the anniversary of when my husband passed away also, Michael Scott Fleming. He died 14 years ago on May 3rd. So I just want to put that out to you. Rest in peace, both of you good men. You know, it's a next
please,
couple days.
Yeah, please,
please. But we can
do not
it,
give up in life. Do not commit suicide, no matter what. There's a way, a good way, but don't kill yourself. Don't do it. It's not worth it. You know, even if you got to go through all this probate court stuff, and you do feel like it, you really do, but don't do it.
Yeah.
No. And we just want to save one family, one mother, one elderly man, the cute little old ladies, and them. We have to save them, and we're watching the people that are going to be out there abusing them. We're all out there ready to bust people if they're going to hurt these elderly people, because we're not standing up for that, and we're not going to take it anymore. Hurting our loved ones, that's going to stop now.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? And that's what I'm. That's what also I want to talk about is the nursing home that we have. Our mother in is wonderful. It's the Summit Rehabilitation Care Community, and I tell you what, that is top notch. They also have certified aromatherapy going on there, by the way. So, and I'm going to go down there and help them with that. They have aromatherapy going on in my mom's nursing home. Get this, on like Thursday afternoons, and I'm a certified aromatherapist now. And I'm going to go help them make sure that they're doing the right oils and everything. But how cool is that for a nursing home? And get this, people, I also found out that they are putting aromatherapy in hospitals for the first time for when people go in for, like, surgery and that they're giving people inhalers to calm their anxiety. That's awesome,
that's
everybody.
Wonderful.
That is what they need to be doing to the elderly. You know, they can give them on a small dilution of this to calm them down. They don't need Valiums and Haldols and all that. They can give them a little bit of aromatherapy.
No, they don't need all these medicines. They do
no,
not need
no,
it.
No.
They need their family,
but
their loved ones to love them. That's what they need. They don't need all medication
need
isolation. They don't need that. We don't want that.
No. And I hate it when I get someone telling me how they're abusing their mother. I also understand how, you know, and I also contact Julie Belshi. She comes on, and I see her posts all the time, and she's always talking about isolating and medicating. And, you know, her mom and dad was being mistreated by, you know, April Parks, and she has become a huge advocate. And I'm just grateful that we have these people out there that are advocating on the behalf of the elders and special needs children and our veterans and all that. You know, it's awesome that we can actually stand up and say, quit abusing these people. They've done nothing to you. They want their property. These people earned their property. They earned their day in life. They paved the road for us. We need to make it right with them. And that's our message, is to educate families out there. We try legislating, and that is really hard to do, everybody, if you want to go into legislation and change laws. It's hard to do. It really is.
It is
so
hard
I
to do, but you know what, Haley? We need to keep fighting for legislation all the time. Don't give up. Don't quit. Fight harder. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It is nearly impossible because our Congress is owned by Big Pharma and is owned by big lawyers that put big donations into their pockets that the lawyers have stolen it, of course, from these families that we meet and that we talk to, and they call us and say, what can I do? They're stealing my money. And then they take those funds and they spread them around to all the lawyers and all of the court officials and to the senators and congressmen that they want to vote a certain way when a certain bill comes up. So, yeah, that's going on, and we need to recognize that, and we need to get the money out of the politics in the way that it is, but also watch your congresspeople, watch how they're voting, and let's not let them be out of line either. We're we the people. They work for us. Let's try to do our job and make sure that they're held accountable for the bad votes that they're making, for the bad work that they're doing, just like we're trying to hold these judges accountable for their crimes and bring them to justice one day. You know, this is the fight. We have to stand up and fight, and there really isn't another choice other than to lay down and get rolled over, you know, and that's not a good choice at all. We'll not do that.
Exactly. That's good, you guys. I'm really – thank you, Robin, coming on. You know, your voice is always excellent. Marcy, are you still with us? Thank you for coming on also to our show. I mean, Marcy's come a long way. I mean, she's been doing a lot of research, and she's been trying to get her mother out of guardianship. I don't think she's seen her mom in quite a few months now. That is totally wrong. And if you are the people holding her mother, please let her see her mom. There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong. And having a mother-daughter bond, nothing wrong with it. Thank God, Margaret, we got to spend the day with Mom today. That was awesome.
It's the most wonderful feeling. I can't even – I didn't get to see Mom for 4 years, and that almost killed me. But then today I got to be with Mom, and she told me happy birthday. I'll send anybody a picture if they want to see it, what real love looks like. When you fight, you don't ever give up. Do not give up. I mean,
it's also my kitty's birthday today.
To find Mom.
8 years old. my kitty's birthday is 18 years old. Say Pooh is. So,
yeah.
Wow.
Poonus.
Poonus. Well, that
cat,
she's famous on the radio nowadays because he's always there giving me a hard time every time we do these radio shows. But what can you say? Anyway, I guess we're going to go ahead and end the show tonight. I guess, what's the saying we always say, Robin?
Never give up. Give
justice
up, give
requires transparency and accountability, and never, never, never quit.
Never, never give up. Well, happy birthday, Mark.
Spoken.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you for everything. Space, this is great, and we're a big, solid, big group out here. We're ready. Ready to take them on. We're not going to give up no matter what. We got to fight for people and their families and their loved ones. That's what it's all about. Keeping our legacy and our inheritance, what we didn't get. But, oh, well, we got our mother, and that's good enough for me. I'll take it.
And, of course, the other thing that I always like to say is God bless us, everyone.
That's right. We all have a right to a fair and happy, wonderful life in America.
Now we have to fight for that, right?
Right.
Land of the home of the free and the brave. Wow. I want to say that again really quick.
The home of the free and the brave. Absolutely, you guys. Anyway, we're going to end this radio show tonight with some music by Kelly Derrickson. She's a second-time award winner for the Native American lands, and she let us use her music because she's also fighting for her people in the Native American land. Rob and I actually met her, didn't we? She was a beautiful lady.
Oh, I love her. She's the best. She's wonderful.
The best.
She works with another musician who's also wonderful. They co-write the music, and it's absolutely brilliant. And I really appreciate what they do, and I'm grateful that they let us have permission to use their music because it's powerful and it's true, and I think you all enjoy it. I really love them.
Yeah. Okay, so next week, everybody, we're going to be having a really good show again tomorrow. Next Wednesday, we'll be back here again. We actually changed our time up. We're an hour at 6 o'clock Mountain Standard Time now, 8 p.m. on the Eastern Coast. So we wanted to make it a little bit earlier for our viewers on the Eastern Coast, and so that's what we did. Anyway, we're going to be playing a song by Good Place by Kelly Derrickson. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Bye, Robin. Bye, Lulu. Thank you.
No
bye-bye.
More war. It's over. The pain has brought us closer. We fought our way through all the tears. Still serve that velvet cake we both shared on our first date. Why don't we order a piece while we're here? Two hearts beat perfectly, music plays quietly. Darling, we're happy and safe when we are.
the first time in a while this house feels like home.
Two hearts beat perfectly, music played quietly.